Blog Talk Radio.
Garage Talk Live starts now.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Car needs is fuel. Cause that fire. Anyway, late weekend in racing this past weekend, but it all comes back to the Labor Day holiday weekend. NASCAR's famed Southern 500 And then, guess what? The week after that, the Brickyard, which means the end of the Monster Energy Cup Series regular season. Matter of fact, let me check the schedule before I get into some of these result things here. And Truck Series will be taking off. They just had Eldora, and I mean, now they're, I mean, they just had the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. Five, wow, they might even be in their playoffs. Figured there's only five truck races left, so it's hard to believe. The Xfinity Series, they're in their playoffs. They really haven't mentioned too much about that. And then the Xfinity Series as well. They should be kicking off their playoffs as well soon, too. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Their playoffs start this weekend. Wow. You can catch the Xfinity race on NBC regular, not a cable channel, a regulars channel. Cup Series will be on NBC Sportsnet. Both night races, Saturday night and Sunday night. Truck Series off this week. So there's the one reprieve. ARCA will be back in action this weekend. So will the NHRA. They will be at the Brickyard. Well, Lucas Oil Park, I think it's where it's at in Indianapolis, which is outside the Brickyard. The Brickyard adjacent for the U.S. Nationals, which is the end of their regular season. And so then we have the six-race countdown after that. So, it's going to be a busy weekend in racing, and lots to go over. Might even run extra long next week. I'm trying to book a guest. I think we have it intact. We've tried to get her on before. Not a race car driver. She's an actress, producer, and a friend of mine. So. We'll wait and see there. Anyway, also out this weekend was the Road America was the Trans Am Series. Remember Boris said he used to be a road course specialist that would drive in the cup cars? Well, he drove for Burton Racing out at Road America. We opened up for the Xfinity Series this weekend and took second place with old Boris. I wouldn't get him on the show. course, the track. Burton Racing is Tommy Drissi, who we had on the show before. He's injured, I think. He might have to come back at Watkins Glen. So the other one would be Low Shack. So we have a little video here. I'm going to play some audio from it. I'm one of the team members. Preview to the weekend at Indy for Burton Racing. I thought there was going to be some talking. There isn't. Anyway, good luck to them, and we'll see what happens. I said next week, ARCA will be back at DuCoin for their second consecutive dirt track. Let's take a look at how things are going to progress for them this week. Check out the standings right now. You can find their schedule. See how many they got. They only have a couple races left. If they're DuCoin, so they were. Two races after this one. So their season will be over, and they'll be crowning a champion. So they'll be out in action at DuCoin this week. It'll be Saturday on MAV TV if you want to check that out. Then after that, they'll be at Lucas Oil Raceway at Indy on October 5th. But the Cup Series will be in Dover that weekend for their 100th race and their 50th anniversary celebration. We'll have Mike Lewis from Dover on. Guess who's performing there? Grand Funk Railroad. I grew up listening to them. That's how old I am. That's how old they are. They're older. But I was younger. But anyway, maybe we can get Grand Funk Railroad on. Talk about playing at the Speedway. I'm going to reach out to Matt, see who he can hook me up with. And, you know, you're talking that iconic band from yesteryear. I mean, not as big as some of the other bands, but well-known. Maybe we can get them all on together. I need to see what happens there. I had credential requests for Dover, and I missed it. Too much going on, too little time. Time's going by quick. Anyway, let's see who is in the standings for the running with a couple of races left in the ARCA Series. Michael Self has about 150 14-point lead over Christian X. So he might have the championship wrapped up. He can just hang on to any part of that lead for three races. Brett Holmes was third. He has a 30. He's 30 points behind second. And then there's another big gap between third and fourth with Travis Braden and Joe Graff Jr., Tommy Bye in sixth, Brad Smith, seventh, Tim Richmond, eighth, Chandler Smith, ninth, and Corey Haynes, tenth. But ninth and tenth are close. Then there's a gap between ninth and eighth and seventh. So the closest spots are ninth and tenth and second and third, so I don't see much change there. So we'll look at that. See how that changes in a couple of weeks. NHRA, we've got a few categories to check out. The top seven are locked into the countdown. That's Steve Torrance, Brittany Force, Doug Kalita, Clay Milliken, Antron Brown, Mike Salinas, and Leah Pritchett. So, and then 8th, 9th, and 10th is Austin Brock, Richie Crampton, and Terry McMillan. Eleventh is on the bubble, and here's the gap right there. 7 points between 10th and 11th with Scott Palmer. So Terry McMillan has to hold on. It's tight right there. So we'll have to see where that shakes out this weekend. In the funny car division, Robert Height has a big lead over Tommy Johnson Jr. in second. He's locked into the top seed. Then you have a 20-point gap between Tommy Johnson Jr. and John Force for second spot. There's about a 19-point difference there. That can be made up in one weekend. Ronnie Capps in fourth. He's a little further back, another 30 points. And then Fast Jack Beckman in fifth. Matt Hagan in sixth. Bob Paska in seventh. J.R. Todd in eighth. And Sean Langdon in ninth. They are all locked into the countdown. Tim Wilkerson in tenth is not, which is surprising because Bruce Pedregon is 200 points behind him. There's no way to make that up. So the fact that they only locked in 9 and not 10 is confusing, but I'm not the number crunchers for the NHRA that figure this out. On the pro stock side, Bo Butner has a 72-point lead over Greg Anderson. He could have the top spot locked down, but he's not out of the woods yet. Alex Lachlan is third. Jason Lyon, fourth. Matt Hartford, fifth. Derek Kramer, sixth. Erica Ender, seventh. Eighth is Jed Coughlin. Ninth is Chris McGahey. They're all locked in. Tenth spot, Kenny Delco. He's not locked in because Fernando Cuadra is only 3 points behind him and 12 points behind Delco. And 12th is Val Smellen. So there's a pretty Roger Brogdon in 13th, 43 back. A 10th is a stretch, so we'll have to see if 10th swaps out if the bubble bursts for Kenny Delco. So we'll just have to wait and see on that one. Now we go to the pro stock motorcycle class. Your top four are the only ones locked in, and that is Andrew Hines and Eddie Krawick, go figure. Matt Smith, who's defending champ, and Hector Arana Jr., who he has a championship under his belt as well. So they're the top four locked in. Karen Stouffer in fifth, Angie Smith in sixth, Ryan Oler in eighth, Hector Arana Sr., Ryan Oler in seventh, Hector Arana Sr. in eighth, Angel Sampei in ninth, and Jerry Savoie in tenth. It is 20 points between, or 18 points between ninth and tenth, and 50 points between 11th and ninth, and let's see, all that 32 points between ninth and tenth, which is doable. But I don't know if Scotty Polachek can get ahead of Jerry Savoie. So, but everybody else, I'd say 5th, 6th, and 7th should be locked in, but even that's a little tight. That's probably why they left it open. They can shake it down. So it's going to be interesting to see who does what this weekend. Because they will actually run their event on Monday, as a matter of fact, instead of Sunday. So that's good. This way I can watch all the racing this weekend without having to split screen and watch two different ones at once. I can enjoy both of them. Matter of fact, let's check out the rest of the NHRA schedule. They said this week is the Brickyard. Then they're off for a couple weeks. Then they go out to Maple Grove for round one. Then they're off for a couple of weeks, and they go out to Gateway for round two. And that's where it starts getting interesting. And then a couple weeks of the space in the mountain, then out to Z-Max in Charlotte for round three, then out to Texas for round four, then to the Strip in Vegas for round five, and the final event will be at the Auto Club Speedway or Raceway in Pomona on November the 17th for final eliminations. And after that, on the 2020 in February, not even got next year's schedule up. Awesome. But we don't have to worry about that for right now. So, seven races and the NHRA season's over. Then we'll see what happens in the off season. I have to do something, to find something to talk about. And we'll get some other people on, and up-and-comers, and we'll go from there. All right. Even though the truck series ran the day after the Xfinity series, it's just kind of weird that that's how it's set up. So we'll do it that way. We'll go to the Xfinity series first. And we'll get the rundown from there. Anybody have cats? No, you know how it gets me. Get a Rammy. Anyway, Tyler Dipple in the truck series was suspended for conduct detrimental, whatever that means. Usually you fail a drug test. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's get into the results. Christopher Bell takes the win on the road. Austin Cindric finishes second. Third was Tyler Reddick, Noah Gragson fourth. Kaz Grala fifth. Justin Haley sixth. Chase Briscoe seventh. Jeremy Clements, 8th. Justin Allgaier, 9th. Jeremy Clements has been doing pretty good. He did win a road course to get to the playoffs. I remember seeing him at Dover as one of the bottom 20, and now he's in the top 20, pretty much. And I know they had a partnership with Childress, so paying off, they're figuring things out, getting some thing. It's good to see. You like to see a young guy at an independent team do well, because pretty much everybody gets their stuff from either Roush Yates, if you got a Ford for engines, or even Penske and all them. Roush Yates supplies the makes the engine, or Gibbs for Toyota, or and your Chevys are either between Hendrick or Childress. So that's how that works. And, you know, these guys got to figure it out on their own. But anyway, there's your top 10. Let me see. Anybody in the race that I recognize or that I've had on the show? No Cup guys in this weekend, so oh, I think A.J. Allmendinger. I've had him on before. And Matt DiBenedetto, not finished 27th. He's been running good on the ovals, but I guess the road's got the best of them. Only a 45-lap event out at Road America, but the track is 4.04 miles long. It's the longest road course on, actually, in racing altogether, let alone what NASCAR runs. Of course, it's just the Xfinity series that runs there. I think maybe the trucks. I don't have to go look at the schedule. Cup doesn't. That's all I know. They only run Watkins Glen and Sonoma. And they will be adding a new one, a new wrinkle, to the October race at Charlotte, running what they call in the Roval, which is, I guess, a good portion of it is on the oval. And then they break to the road course part of it a little bit. So that'll be interesting in how that goes. As far as points go, Reddick leads the points with 4 wins. Christopher Bell is second with 6 wins now. Cole Custer is third with 5 wins. There's your top 3 seeds, and not in that order, because Christopher Bell will get bumped to the top spot. Tyler Reddick will move down to the third spot, But Cole Custer has one more win. Then you'll have Justin Allgaier in fourth, Austin Cindric in fifth, and he'll move up seed-wise. Chase Briscoe in sixth, he'll move up because Justin Allgaier will get bounced down with not having a win. Then you have Noah Gragson, Michael Anetto has a win in eighth, Justin Haley in ninth, John Hunter Nemechek in 10th, Brandon Jones in 11th, and Ryan Sieg will be your bubble man. Buddy has a big lead over 13th, which is Gray Golding, so there's no chance of that getting bumped from there. Like I said, it's Christopher Bell's 14th in 64 Xfinity races. Like I said, it's his sixth this year, and it's his first victory and first top 10 at Road America. Let's hear from our winner. Christopher Bell with Jason Ratcliffe, both of Joe Gibbs Racing.
Hi, everyone. We are now joined by Christopher Bell, driver of the number 20, Rude Toyota Supra, and his crew chief, Jason Ratcliffe. What's the question?
Oh, yeah. Not everybody at once.
Talk about actually winning on the road, because I get the impression that these are good. Did that change?
Not really. It's not my favorite style of racing, just because I just had a really, really bad experience last year. Two in races in a row where we were pretty fast and got wrecked twice, and that ruined our regular season championship hopes. So that was pretty frustrating. But we as in the team, Jason and everyone at Joe Gibbs Racing, did a really, really, really good job this year preparing for the road courses. They put a lot of homework into it, and we have really good race cars right now. Yeah, it's honestly, in my head anyway, it was a little bit easier on a green-white checkered than it is whenever you're leading with 10 or 12 to go, just because, you know, it's like, man, that's a lot of corners to make a mistake, and you just got to go out there and plug away. So when the yellow came out, the timing of the yellow was disappointing for me because I had just gapped Allmendinger a little bit, so I didn't want to see a yellow. But at the same hand, you know, the yellow just means less laps that I have a chance to make a mistake. So I was okay with it after it worked out. But you just never know how restarts are going to work out, if a guy is going to force it three wide. So the last couple laps were honestly two of the easiest laps I had, just because I had space and I could kind of take it easy. Yeah, it was really smooth sailing. It was a lot harder whenever Allmendinger was right behind me, because I knew if I was just too easy one corner, he was going to make me pay for it. So that's probably the hardest thing about road course racing, is whenever you go oval racing and you're leading, it's just about not making mistakes. And if you don't make mistakes, it's pretty easy to capitalize on being the leader. But whenever you go road course racing, same deal. You can't make mistakes, but you can't take it easy either, because the braking zones are so, there's so much time to be made there. So there were a couple times where I didn't get in very deep trying to not make a mistake, and then all of a sudden he comes from 10 car lengths back and gets right on my bumper. So I knew that I had to run hard and run perfect.
I didn't. I was really surprised he made it that far. It's just so hard to pass and everybody gets a bunch of stuff. If they're single file, and he's really good at this, and I knew the tires would be beneficial, but to make it as far as he did, I was surprised. Hats off to him. Because we had clean racetrack, I knew Christopher would be able to stretch it a little bit, even though he was on the old tires. But new tires are definitely worth something. We saw that. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it says a lot. I think Austin is, as far as a series regular, I mean, he's probably one of the most experienced, or is the most experienced road course racer in the series. So Christopher's definitely, you know, making some ground up. He did a nice job last year of improving every time we went to the road course. And I think we've seen so far this year that, you know, he's right there with him. And then today to pull it off and finally get a victory. It's, you know, that's a goal that we came into the season. We set some goals, and one of them was, hey, let's win the road course race. We feel like we've made enough progress last season in our cars and in his ability to, you know, run these road courses. And so to see that play out today was very rewarding. Just because we hadn't done it yet, you know. And I thought that last year we made we put a lot of effort into it, you know, not just, you know, on the team side, but he, you know, driving the TA2 cars and, you know, really focusing on, hey, what do I need to do to be better at these road course, and talking to a lot of road course specialists and, hey, where do I need to improve that? And he's taken it and applied it to the racetrack, and, you know, we saw that today.
I think we're in good shape. It's disappointing that we're not closer in the regular season playoffs or the regular season championship. That's kind of disheartening. And I think today even we got stretched a little bit. So who cares? Whenever the points reset, we're going to be the leader.
Yeah.
10. How many races we got left? Huh? 13? 13 races left? No speedways? 10. Yeah, so hang on. I kind of said 10 jokingly, but I think we are capable of winning 10 races left. So I think we're capable of winning every time we go to the racetrack. That's what I'm trying to say. And then there's no speedway races in there, so I think we can win every time we go to the racetrack. Obviously, that's unrealistic. So, you know, we don't have a number in mind. It's not like me and Jason sat down at the beginning of the year and said we have to win X races or it's a failure. So, you know, all our goal is to win races. And like you said, we did have a goal to win a road course race. So I think we can win every time we go to the racetrack. And, you know, if we don't win anymore, I'm going to be extremely disappointed. But I, you know, I understand that we're not going to win all of them. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's pretty cool to see how it's come. And then, and just, I don't know, I don't know, whenever I was, you know, racing sprint cars full time, I was a really good short track racer. And whenever it came to the half miles, I really struggled at it. And then, after time and time of doing it again and focusing on that area to get better. And then next thing you know, I became a pretty good half mile racer. So, same thing with the road courses. We weren't very good, but I didn't have a lot of experience at it. So it was one of those things where, you know, we know, okay, you know, the Richmond, the Bristol, the Phoenix, it not that we don't want to improve on it, but I don't need to be studying film of those, you know, months in advance, and I don't need to be running a Trans Am car around those racetracks. So I think probably the biggest thing is running the Trans Am car on the week of the race, just using that to prepare and getting extra track time and just getting experience, because that's what I really lack. No. Yeah, absolutely. I still really, really want to win Richmond like we did last year, because that was pretty nice going into the Roval stress-free. Then I ended up crashing in practice, so that made it really, really nice that I already had a win. So I think winning early in the rounds just makes it more beneficial, because you can Jason's able to do aggressive pitch strategy like we did today and give up all of our stage points to better our chances at winning the race. So I think we're winning here definitely gives me confidence going in there, but at the same time, we were really, really good at the Roval last year. We just it just didn't work out. But I'm excited for the Roval. It was a really fun race, and hopefully it's another good race. I mean, my biggest motivation, and that's kind of been the story of my career, even from sprint cars to all the way to NASCAR, is and everything I've been taught is everybody wants a winner. So I've always strived at winning races, and you know, everybody wants a winner in their race car. So that's one thing that you know, I try to do is I try to win races. Well, I think after talking to some of the higher ups in the NASCAR industry, there are certain racetracks and style of racetracks that they value results more so than others. And I remember whenever I very first started in NASCAR, they said road course racing is something that's really, really important because there is a lot of driver skill involved. And so, yeah, I think it's very important to be a good road racer. And Jason can probably elaborate on that.
For a while, it looked like when they both that old skill background. Is there anything in local career that kind of pretty good?
As far as open-wheel dirt track racing to stock car road courses, I would say no, nothing relates except just car control. It definitely takes a lot of car control to be good at road courses, and I think that dirt track racing has, gave me that key, or I guess, I don't know. But, it like I said, road course racing was my struggle just because I didn't have any experience at it, so I can't say that because I was good at open wheel cars that I would be good here.
Your turn.
An Indy car was in action this weekend. I just found this. At the Bomarito Automotive Group 500. Takuma Sato took the checkered flag. Ed Carpenter was second. Tony Kanaan third. Santino Ferrucci fourth. Simon Pagano fifth. Connor Daly sixth. Joseph Newgarden seventh. Ryan Hunter Ray eighth. Colton Herta, ninth, and Marco Andretti rounds out the top 10. Graham Rahal had mechanical failure, was 18th. And they only have a couple of races left. Roll all the way down. Grand Prix of Portland. This weekend. So they. And then after that, 2 weeks after that, the Grand Prix of Monterey. So their season is over in a couple of weeks. So it's pretty interesting. Now it's just all coming to a close in such a hurry. Anyway, the truck series also in action, this time north of the border in Canada. Britt Moffitt. Keeping on a roll. Took the checkered flag. Alex Cagliani. Former IndyCar driver. I guess he's driving whatever he can get into in the 51. Took the second spot. Ben Rhodes, who was pretty much on his bumper toward till the end, taking third. Sheldon Creed was fourth. Austin Hill fifth. Johnny Sauter sixth. Stuart Friesen seventh. Ross Chastain eighth. Tyler Ankrum ninth. Raphael Lessard is tenth. Other playoff contenders: Matt Crafton 11th, Grant Enfinger 13th. Here are the points. Brett Moffitt leads the points. Ross Chastain is second. Stuart Friesen is third. Matt Crafton, fourth. Austin Hill, fifth. Grant Enfinger, seventh. Johnny Sauter, eighth. Grant Enfinger, sixth. Johnny Sauter, seventh. And Tyler Ankrum is eighth. And there are your playoff guys right there. And they're already involved in it. So it's hard to believe the playoffs are coming down to a close. Let's hear from Brett Moffitt and Crew Chief Jerry Baxter.
For GMS Racing Squad, driver Brett Moffitt. Brett, obviously a dominating performance today. What kind of drove that kind of speed and car play?
You know, it all starts from the people in the GMS Fab Shop and building us great road course trucks and just great trucks in general. And then, you know, they passed it on to Jerry and our guys back in the shop to assemble it. And, you know, it starts from the ground up, and we unload this weekend, and we're fast. We qualify well, and we make great adjustments during second practice there. We didn't get a lot of laps in first practice, but second practice made really strong adjustments to get the truck driving how I needed it to. And the biggest thing is we had a plan from, you know, Monday or Tuesday this week of what to do, and we had a truck capable of executing the speed it needed to go with that plan, and we stuck to it. And I know our goal was to win stage one for that playoff point and try to win the race for the five playoff points. And we executed it to 100%, and, you know, that's all we can ask for, and just, you know, stay firing on all cylinders like that.
And obviously, opening the playoffs now with two wins, or coming off one last week in Bristol, what kind of momentum is that going to have?
It's big. I wouldn't really pinpoint these two wins. I pinpoint the last month and a half, 2 months, where we just kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and I feel like our 24 team here is just continuing to develop and evolve and work better together and bring more speed, and everyone's digging down deep, working harder than ever. And you know, we're in a comfortable spot right now. It's not time to let up. We just want to go in Vegas. We're always going to look forward to the next race.
And we'll open things up here to the floor. And if we can just ask some of the folks out back, quiet down there, the audio. And then up front, any questions?
I don't think it's anything to do with me. No, I think it's all of us. It's everyone rides, it's stepping up, it's better. Our heads always fail, and things going to the planet. easier to compete in. Like everyone on our team get a better plan, but once look ahead to race, so well. A lot of the companies haven't been using our trucks. Don't let them. Everyone works together and performing. I guess if y'all are doing better on the track, I don't know. But the pay window is open right now. Free test, experiment, everyone rate, focus, no time, playoffs, win for all that.
Any other questions here? Right here.
I guess they didn't have a wireless mic available to the media. More questions up front here. Zone one. Zone twice. Nope. All right, Jen. Congrats on the win.
Oh, let's get through with the six lead changes amongst five drivers. Brett Moffitt did lead two times for 44 laps, so that's why the performance was so good. Three cautions for nine laps in a truck series race, and two of those were stage conclusions. So it was a pretty clean race. Average speed, 88.9 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 5.16 seconds. Now, let me get to the generalities of the Indy race, I mean the Xfinity race. Eight lead changes amongst six drivers, four cautions for eight laps, fairly clean again. And stage two conclusion was clean, incident with Allgaier in turn one on stage one's end. So other than that, there was a pretty clean race there. And it was fairly close. No real runaway leaders. Matt DiBenedetto led twice for 18 laps. He was the big lap leader. And Christopher Bell and A.J. Allmendinger both led 10 laps each. Everybody else, the other three were in single digits. So, race was 2 hours, 11 minutes, and 38 seconds. Average speed, 83 mile an hour. Margin of victory, 1.89 seconds. A little closer than the other one. And by about 3 seconds. So there you have that. So what do we got next? Southern 500 at Darlington. Let's see who's looking good. It looks like a Ford event. You have Fords and Chevys. So you have two Penske Fords. Keselowski won that one this last year. Logano was second. Kyle Larson third. Kevin Harvick fourth. The big lap leader, though, was Kyle Larson. So he was doing something right. He led 284 of the 367 laps. He led three times, but fell two spots short. So he took a gamble on something, and it didn't work. Other than that, Then you had Kyle Busch in seventh, Kurt in eighth, and a Ford South. But now he's in a Chevy. Chase Elliott was up there. So it's going to be pretty interesting. Kyle Larson hasn't been having a very good year. Then you had Truex, led 30 laps, but he finished 11th. And then Denny Hamlin, who just come off a win, led 11 laps, he finished 10th. So, the two Gibbs cars that did lead laps are 10th and 11th. Kyle Busch was 6th, but not a good day for him as far as being up front. No laps led. So maybe I'll go with Harvick just because it's a Ford, even though Larson led the most laps and led both, won both stages. He couldn't close the deal. Harvick's the closer, so that's who I'm going to go with this week. Kevin Harvick. Hope you all enjoyed the show. I'm Vinny. We'll see you all next week with a lot of stuff going on. Gonna be Labor Day weekend racing at its maximum. Everybody's in action. Everybody. As a matter of fact, let me let you know when the NHR A event will be. I didn't give you that schedule. Not a lot going on in go to the TV schedule. For those of you that won't be there, NHRA qualifying will be the finals will be Monday. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Fox Sports 1, and then replayed from 1 to 4 on regular Fox. If you have DirecTV and your Fox network affiliate is carried by Nexstar, go to Fox Sports 1 at 11 and tape it, because DirecTV and Nexstar are in a contract feud, and they haven't been carrying any of the standard Fox channels at all for a couple of months now, which kind of is upsetting. And then they'll be replaying it every day the next week. If you don't catch it on Fox Sports 2, check your local listings. But if you want to catch it fresh, Fox Sports 1, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's kind of early. So we'll see what happens there. Hopefully, everybody will be locked in. The playoffs lineups will be set in stone. And they'll be going for that big Wally, not the weekly Wally. They all have the same trophy every week. Unlike NASCAR, which has different tracks. Each different track has a different winner's trophy. You have the Brick at the Brickyard. You have Miles the Monster at Dover. You have the Grandfather Clock at Martinsville. When they ran it nationally, they used to get a Gibson Les Paul that was painted by the late Sam Bass. So that's pretty That was pretty nice. And then Kyle Busch had this audacity to smash one in victory lane. It's like, dude, get one off the shelf if you're going to smash. Don't get the actual trophy and play Jimi Hendrix, you know, smash the guitar. Anyway, that's our show for today. I'm Vinny, your host. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.